You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith.
I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is Season 5, Episode 1. Well, hey, friends, and welcome to Season 5 of Feathers. I am so glad to have you back for another season of stories talking all about faith and obedience. I am always so encouraged by the guests on here, and I have really missed the podcast the last few weeks. I have been busy, as I mentioned at the end of Season 4, filming my Bible study on John 15 called Rich, Discovering God's Abundance in and Through Your Life. You might have seen on Instagram pictures of that a few weeks ago. We're kicking off the pilot group, going through that study the next week, and I cannot wait to make that available to all of you in the coming months. So let's talk about the episode today. I have Vanessa Clark, and she's a mom who is just an amazing story of faith and prayer and healing. And I was just so encouraged by our conversation. So let's go ahead and get to that. Here's my conversation with Vanessa. Well, hi, Vanessa. Welcome to Feathers today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so glad that you're here. I would love to start out if you could introduce yourself and your family and what keeps you busy.
So my name is Vanessa Clark. I'm a wife and a mother of five children. They're homeschooled, and I guess at this point in my life, I feel like I'm a little bit busy going in different directions. I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, and I still do a lot at home with my kids, but I also find myself working on a couple projects I have and helping my husband, who is a busy entrepreneur. So it's a fun time.
Yeah, sounds like very busy. Wow. What's the age range of your kids?
Our oldest is 12, or she'll be 12 on the 30th, so here in just a couple days. And then our only boy is 9. We have a 7-year-old girl and then twin girls that are 6. So 4 girls and 1 boy.
Oh my goodness. So you have a range 6 to 12, and it's just like 5 of them. Oh my goodness. That's so awesome though. I think those are such great ages, like elementary, middle school. I mean, we've had such a good time the last couple years.
Yes. I love it. Just their personalities and really coming into their different giftings. And it's fun to watch how different they are. And we just enjoy it.
That's so awesome. And what part of the country are you guys in?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. So here in the Midwest. And you know what? My husband and I came out, originally I wasn't from here. I was from California and then attended high school in Kentucky. But we came out here and met at Oral Roberts University. And it's such a great place to raise a family. We started our businesses here. It's a great community.
That's awesome. I actually haven't been out that way. So I'm adding it to my list of places I need to go.
You're on the East Coast, right?
Yes, I'm a Carolina girl, so I have not been. I have not been in the Midwest very much.
Well,
that's what you guys are, right? Oklahoma's
Midwest. Yeah, it's the Midwest. And you know what? I will tell you, the summers are not fun. Like the heat is brutal, but the people are amazing. Great place to raise a family. Incredible cost of living. I don't think you can get cheaper.
Okay, so I always associate Oklahoma with Pioneer Woman.
Yes. So she's very well known out here. And of course, you know, I'm not out on the Pioneer, but
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still, it's always a good thing. I just, you know, the big wide open spaces that, at least on her Instagram and her blog, it looks amazing.
Yes, we do have a little bit of land. We have like 40 chickens. Now, this is all new. In the past year, we went from, you know, being in a gated neighborhood to wanting chickens and, you know, some ducks. 4 cats. So yeah, we're experiencing a little bit, but not to her level.
Oh my goodness. But that's enough, right?
That is enough. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's really fun.
That's kind of on our list. At some point, we kind of think, man, we would really like some land and do chickens. And my husband, for whatever reason, really wants a donkey and a goat. Yeah. And, all my kids like dogs and cats, and they would love to have a lot of those. But you know, we're in the suburbs of Charlotte, so that's not happening.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Things can change quickly. You never say never, right?
True.
All right. Well, I am very excited to talk about your story today, and this really involves one of your children. So, a miraculous story that I'm excited to let the listeners hear. So I would love for you to just step back and tell us about how this all started.
Yes. So like I said, we have 5 children. And, you know, my husband and I really have to start at when I met my husband, because it just it's part of the story. But we met first day of freshman orientation at Oral Roberts University. We became great friends. We actually were dating other people. But as the story goes, we got married. We fell in love, got married. And I loved being married, loved being a wife. My husband, he stopped school and started a business. And I helped him with the business. And it was fun because we really grew together doing everything. I mean, I look at the business that we created. I mean, we were together from the beginning doing that, which was, you know, a lot of fun. Well, 3 years after we got married, we had our first child, and that was our daughter, Havana, and absolutely loved that. I had just graduated from school the year before. I mean, we were so young. I think we were babies. We were 20 when we got married, 23 when we had Havana.
And, yeah, do you ever look – our we were the same way. Do you ever look back at your wedding pictures and like, who gave us permission to get married?
Yeah, I know. And I think back, I look at pictures of myself holding, you know, my first little one. I think, I knew nothing then. I knew nothing, you know?
I know. But we learn.
Yeah, we learn. So anyways, I just, now I had a little one and I, just like I loved being a wife, I loved being a mom, really poured myself into that. And we just, it was just a happy time. It was a crazy busy time. Like I said, my husband and I had started, a business. It was a mobile entertainment company, and he was super busy learning to grow that, you know, through growing pains, the whole thing. And he ended up growing it to be one of the largest mobile entertainment companies in the nation. So you can imagine he was so busy, and he was starting other projects at the time. But it's like we were just pouring ourselves into life. Well, almost 3 years later, our second child was born, Aubrey, our first boy, our only boy. And it was like everything was hitting this, like, crucible moment of our schedules being so busy. I remember my husband, we knew he wouldn't be able to attend my son's birth unless we scheduled it. Like we scheduled to be induced because his schedule was so crazy. And he knew, I don't know. I mean, he was had a company that provided wedding entertainment, and he thought, I can't not show up to someone's wedding. And it was before he really knew how to delegate. He was just learning. So he was the one that was relied on for all these things. Mm-hmm. So we scheduled to have him induced. But that just kind of shows where we were at. I didn't want to do that. I was someone who always wanted to do natural birth. And it was just that everything was hit this moment where we were just giving all that we could. And that's where we're at. So then my son is born. And we are absolutely ecstatic, healthy baby boy. About 2 years after, or 2 days after he's born, they, you know, give him a little checkup, say he was perfectly healthy. We go home. And, you know, he was just a different baby than my first baby, Havana. And as you know, as a mom, every baby is different. And you're always told that. I feel like with my first child, I was reading all the baby books, wanting to know when they're going to do everything. You know, even with my pregnancy, the first pregnancy, reading everything. The second one, I'm like, oh, this is a breeze. I got this. You know, you're not reading any baby books anymore. I feel like an old pro. So, but he was a needier baby. I couldn't ever put him down without him crying. And, I just felt like he was a high needs baby. And when he was, 2 months old, we went to his well baby checkup and, oh, actually, let me skip. When he was 6 weeks old, we had a wedding down in Dallas that we attended for my cousin, Megan, and I was actually in the wedding. And so I had to have other people hold him. And, of course, that doesn't go well. He would just cry and cry and cry. He always needed me. Again, I'm thinking this is a needy baby. All my extended family saw him, including my aunts and uncles, and just oohed and aahed over him. No red flags. Well, 2 weeks later, I go to his well baby checkup at 2 months. No red flags. Your baby is perfect. Well, 1 month later, 3 months, we go to another family wedding. So the last one we'd been at, he was 6 weeks old when my family saw him. Now they're seeing him at 12 weeks old. And immediately my mom came up to me and she says, "What's wrong with his eyes?" And I remember just kind of being offended. Like, who goes up to someone and asks what's wrong with their baby's eyes? Well, during the past 6 weeks, his eyes had picked up the scanning movement. It was like an unnatural movement back and forth. And we, the guys at my husband's office, affectionately nicknamed him Scantron because he looked like he was scanning everything. And I, as a mom, I'm not thinking anything's wrong. I'm just thinking he's looking around.
Right.
Because you can never, you know, say, oh, what are you looking at? So I just thought he was, oh, wow, he's just like such a curious kid. He's looking at everything, taking everything in. And so I was really off put when my mom said, what's wrong with his eyes? And so I just said, nothing. Like, what do you mean? She goes, they didn't do that before. And I couldn't remember when it started because I saw my son every day, but it must have gradually picked up from when they had seen him at 6 weeks before and his eyes weren't moving until now they were scanning constantly. And so I didn't notice any difference because there wasn't a day when it just happened. It just gradually progressed. So I was kind of annoyed with my mom bringing this up. And later that evening, my aunt, who is a pediatrician, she came over to me and she said, you know, Vanessa, she's like, you really need to get his eyes looked at because that's not natural. And that is when I felt like the first twinge of fear, because this is someone who is a pediatrician. So she knew what she was talking about. And I just, I knew that there was something behind that. She wouldn't give me any details, but I kept pressing. And I said, why would you say that? And, you know, what are you concerned about? And she said, well, there's something that's making his eyes move, not move correctly. And she said, it could be a tumor. It could be something pushing in on his nerves. So that's where my mind went, is that, oh my goodness, my son has a tumor. And it was never any thought about anything about his vision. And she never brought it up. It was the movement. The problem was the movement. Something was causing his eyes to
move. A muscle or
exactly. Exactly. That's exactly where my mind went. So, you know, here I was across the country at a wedding when I was hearing this. And I just remember, just feeling alone. My husband wasn't there because he had to be taking care of his clients back across the country. And I remember calling him and telling him, you know, my aunt is concerned that Aubrey, there's something wrong with him, that he has a tumor. And I just didn't know how to process it because here I thought everything was fine. So I wanted to get home as quickly as possible and get everything dealt with. And I asked her basically a laundry list of the things I needed to have done. She said, you're going to have an MRI. And so we brought him to his pediatrician as soon as we got in town. I brought him. And he shined the light in his eyes, did what he always did. And he said, he looks great. His eyes would dilate when you shined them. And they didn't look cloudy. They didn't look, nothing looked different about them. And then he just said, does he ever look at you? And I remember just thinking, well, no, I guess he never does look at me. And I remember being kind of embarrassed. Like, my son doesn't look at his mom. But like I said, with your
first thing, development, like you have those stages that you kind of expect him not to do that for a while.
And I remember just being kind of like, I wonder why he doesn't look at me when he said that. And then he says, does he ever look at his sister? And I said, well, no. I said, he just looks at everything else. He just likes to take everything in. And I still am not thinking, vision is nowhere on my radar. So he just looked kind of confused. And he said, because his eyes checked out perfect. I mean, isn't the pediatrician, all he's doing is shining a light in and they're dilating. And he said, well, and I told him I was so concerned about a tumor. I said, my aunt says I need an MRI. So I signed up for the MRI. And then he said, I also want you to go to, because I was stuck on this MRI and this tumor. He also said, you need to go to a pediatric ophthalmologist. And he said, he'll dilate his eyes and he'll be able to look back in there. And in my mind, I'm thinking he's going to be looked back trying to see something, like see something that shouldn't be there, the tumor or whatever. I don't know what they're going to be looking for. But I think that he and his mind had maybe the idea that he had a vision problem, but he didn't say anything to me. Mm-hmm. And because my mind was nowhere on that track, I'm still thinking fearful of this tumor. I didn't pick it up. So I made the appointment. We got in very quickly to a local pediatric ophthalmologist. I dropped my daughter off with our in-laws, and I just took my son on our own. He did a very quick exam on Aubrey. I remember thinking, like, this is so fast. And then he came in, and he said, I need you to get your husband. And I said, you know, I can't. He's working. And then he was kind of stern, almost like a parent. He said, no, I need you to call and get your husband here now. And it's making me cry to think about it, because I just knew in that moment that something was really wrong, and it scared me.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. So I...
And you're still thinking not vision at that moment?
Here we are at an ophthalmologist. I've never worn glasses in my life, so I didn't go to ophthalmologist, but obviously it's a vision place, but that was nowhere on my radar. So yeah, my husband comes and I'm visibly shaken. I'm just don't know what to expect, but I know that it's bad the way that he told me that I had to get my husband there after I'd kind of pushed back. So, my husband comes in and he's just very straightforward and to the point, very direct, the doctor. And I remember for whatever reason, he didn't say Aubrey's name. He said, baby is not seeing. Baby will not see. And to hear those words where you're not expecting that at all, it was very, it's like I didn't know how to process it. I didn't believe it. And I kind of argued in the little way that I can. I'm not a very argumentative person, but I just said, that doesn't make sense. I said, because he'd be blind. Did I eat something during my pregnancy I shouldn't have, or expose myself to something, or not get enough of a vitamin I should have had? And he said, no, it's nothing like that. He goes, it's a genetic flaw. Again, this was even more confusing to me. I said, well, that can't be true because we don't have history on either side, my husband or I. He said, well, you wouldn't. He said, it's a 1 in 1,000,000 chance. He said, everyone carries genetic flaws in their genes, everyone. And he says, it's a 1 in 1,000,000 chance that you would marry someone who has the same genetic flaw. And then it's a 1 in 4 chance after that would be manifest. And so
oh
he
my
says,
goodness.
Yeah, he goes, I don't know if you're planning on having any more children, but you need to think about it because they'll have a 1 in 4 chance of being blind as well.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was a lot to process.
So gosh, 1 in 1,000,000. I've never even heard these statistics. 1 in 1,000,000 that you'll be blind. And then even 1 in 4 that it would.
Well, not that you'll be blind, but it's 1 in 1,000,000 everyone has genetic flaws. They're saying they're different, but they're saying for you to marry someone who's carrying the same genetic flaw,
gotcha.
It's like a 1 in 1,000,000 chance because everyone has different ones. And so usually you're marrying someone and it's not manifesting, but for you to pick out someone and marry someone who has the exact same genetic flaw, and then it's a 1 in 4 chance after that, that it would be manifest.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So for you guys specifically, it was 1 in 1,000,000.
Yeah. So, you know, when he explained it that way, it's like, I got it, like it sunk in. And I just realized I have so many questions. You know, like, and I hate to even think this way, but like, if I didn't marry my husband, we wouldn't have had a blind child.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a lot just in that moment, you know, thinking about everything.
But, you know, in that moment, I have to think, like, hearing that is that it's not a mistake. Like, if God puts you together, then it's not a mistake. So, I feel
But it was just a lot to process.
Yes, in the moment. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, anyways, we left. Oh, and the doctor, I'm going to put this in here. He was very kind. He prayed with us. And I remember he prayed. He said, you know, things like this can tear apart a family and just devastate them. They can break up families. And he said he prayed for us to be in unity and like strength and to really be able to work through this. And so that meant a lot. But it was just the whole thing was just, it felt unreal. I was there, but I felt like I wasn't there. Like,
right.
This God, I don't understand how my son is blind.
Mm.
So, we left. My husband went back to the office and I went, my in-laws picked up our daughter because they had been watching her. And immediately, of course, they wanted to know how our appointment went because they knew this had been a big deal to go find out what was going on. I had the tumor on my mind and there was something in me and it wasn't my choice. That's what I'm saying. This was God. I didn't tell people he was blind. So when they said, well, what'd they say? I said, well, the doctor just says he's having trouble seeing. I try to make it like it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my son. I went home. And it's still completely in a state of shock. So as soon as I was able to get my son to sleep, my daughter for her nap, I had like this verse that had been repeating in my mind. And it wouldn't leave me alone since that appointment. It was, why was this man born blind? Why was this man born blind? And it just like I had questioned the doctor when we were in there, you know, why did this happen? Did I expose myself to some toxin? Did I eat something I wasn't supposed to do? I felt somehow like I had done this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the Bible and I knew it had to be in the New Testament because I knew that the man was healed. And I wasn't familiar enough with the Bible to know where it was, but I tore through it till I found it. And it said, why was this man born blind? Was it for the sins of his own or his parents? And Jesus replied, "Neither. He was born this way so that my glory might be shown." And when I read that, it was like, it meant so much to me on so many levels. It was God saying, "You didn't do this. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault." Mm-hmm. And he was saying, I took it as, I'm going to heal Aubrey. Like, that would be, I thought, that is what's going to bring glory to God. And let me just tell you, though, my thought process, you know, I attended Oral Roberts University with my husband. And that's where, that is a very charismatic university. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I wasn't brought up in a charismatic home. I was brought up to know that Jesus loved me and cared about me, but we didn't attend church regularly, like maybe even once a year. There was period patches where we went. But so when I went to Oral Roberts University, it's like my eyes were opened to all these incredible, incredible, I guess, different things about God. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a charismatic university. People there have dreams, visions. They speak in tongues. I could do none of these. Okay. But I was enamored with all of it. I thought it was amazing. And I believed in all of it. And they would preach on healings too. And they would have people come up on stage and they'd pray for them. And I was always so amazed. Oh, wow. Look at, you know, 10 people got healed. And my husband would be like, we were not married at the time, we were dating. He said none of those people got healed. And so we were two different ends of the spectrum. He did not believe in healing. He did not believe in God. And then I'm believing all of it. So it's like when I read that verse, I knew, I already believed that God, it's like I thought I saw those healings at ORU. I God's going to heal him. That's the only way this can end. It said that he was born this way so that God might show his glory. So that verse was a huge encouragement to me. I just put all my hope in it. I shared with my husband, of course, that Aubrey was going to be healed. He didn't believe that way. Like I said, when we got married and when we dated, he did not believe in God. At this point of our marriage, so this is 3 years later, after we'd had our first, he did believe in God. He did. So his beliefs had evolved that much, but he did not believe that God was good. He thought mm-hmm. that God had messed up on the world, that the world was terrible. And especially when Aubrey was born this way, he said, any God that could allow a helpless baby to be born this way is either A, he's not good because he allowed it, or mm-hmm. B, he's not all powerful because he didn't stop it. So he goes, either way, right. he does not deserve my prayers. Mm. So he refused to pray for him. My husband very much wanted to fix the problem because, I mean, that's how he saw it. He's an entrepreneur. He's a fix-it kind of guy. And he thought, you know, what can I do? He immediately was asking about eye transplants, about any surgeries. And the door kept getting shut. There's nothing you can do. I remember the doctor saying, like, there literally is nothing you can do. It's a genetic flaw. It's not like you can have a surgery to repair this. And so that was really devastating for him. And then once he accepted that, he just wanted a course of action. Okay, we need to enroll him at the Little Lighthouse. It's a local school that would help kids with all different special needs. We need to get him, you know, about the school for the blind. He wanted to practically do these things, where I was kind of like, well, no, because we don't need those things. So we were in two different mm-hmm. places. So yeah. So I'm trying to pick up where I was. What was I saying? He had, so I read the verse, and that's really what I held on to. And so every day it's like I would take care of my kids, do whatever they needed, but I really felt kind of dead in it. I don't know how to explain that. It's like I met all their needs. I would feed them. I would.
So going through the motions probably.
Going through the motions. But then I felt like whenever they were asleep and I had alone time, like I could be real. I couldn't do that. I couldn't break down while my kids were there because I had to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And so I would just literally break down on my hands and knees and cry out to God. Like I never had ever. I mean, and just beg God to heal Aubrey. I knew that he could. And I felt like here I'd been to ORU where all these people talked about dreams and visions. And I say all these, it was probably a few, but I remembered it. And I thought God had never spoken to me. I just thought if there was ever a time in my life where God should answer me, this is it. And so I really just stayed on him in prayer, and, you know, God did speak to me. I didn't notice it at the time, but in the Bible, I found so many verses that encouraged me. I found that nothing is impossible with God, and I know that is such a simple verse that we hear all the time, but when you truly contemplate what that means and what that means for you in whatever situation you're in right now, I couldn't believe it. I thought, wait, nothing is impossible for God? That means that God can't say that and mean that for everything except for Aubrey being healed. That means that Aubrey can be healed, that God can heal him because it's possible with God. Mm-hmm. And that just, it blew my mind to wrap my mind around these things. And then also that God is not a man that he should lie. I just thought, he can't say that and then that not be true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He can't. And so it's like the more I read these things, the more convinced I was that Aubrey would be healed. I would Google God's promises and find them, and I'd go to the Bible and read the context, and like they encouraged me so much, and it was amazing. And I also read any story I could get my hands on of other people who had been healed, and that was just very, very, very encouraging to hear these other healings, because I feel like you're kind of in a vacuum. You know, I'm not really talking to too many people. I was kind of isolated. I'm talking to my husband, but I would go to hear those stories to be encouraged that this truly could happen.
Well, isn't it? I always go back to, I think it might actually be the same story. And they're asking about who healed him. And he goes, well, I don't know. He said, well, I was blind, but now I see. Like, it was just so factual. And when somebody has been healed, you're like, okay, that's a fact. Nobody can deny that.
You know, exactly what you're right. I went through that after my son, after he was healed. I analyzed it so many different ways. Would he have been healed if I didn't pray? What if I just all these different things? I finally had to come up with exactly what you said. All I know is that because people would ask me questions, and I came up to, all I know is that he was completely blind. I was told he would never see. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and now he sees. I don't know how God chose to do it. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know that's what happened.
Okay, but let's step through how we got to that.
Yeah,
so
I know,
you're praying. You're praying, and then what happens?
So I'm praying, and at times I'm so encouraged. I'm so excited. I'm reading about other healings. I know this is going to happen. And then other times I'm waking up, and my son is still blind. He's still blind. Where are you, God? And so it was like an emotional roller coaster. My husband is trying to be supportive of me, yet he does not believe at all what I'm believing in. And so we just didn't really talk about it. But at a certain point, it reached a fever pitch where he came to me and he said, I don't want you to pray anymore. I think he thought I was in denial, and he thought I was crazy. I mean, here I am talking about our son who's going to see when everyone says he's blind. So he said, you need to get him enrolled in the little lighthouse, and our son is blind. And I remember how upsetting that was for me to hear, and not even because he thought my son was blind and would never see, because I already knew he believed that way. It was because he didn't realize how important me being able to pray was right now. And I felt truly this is the only thing from keeping me from becoming a crazy person. Now I could understand how people could get depressed and, you know, you hear of all these things. I could relate to it and think, if I didn't have God, that's where I would be right now. And so I just thought, that's the one thing I can't give up. So, of course, I didn't stop praying. But we were definitely on two different ends of the spectrum now, where he really wasn't on the team with this. It would be when he would see me get down low about why he hasn't seen. He's like, he's never going to see. You need to get off of that. So we had an employee at the time, and he went on his honeymoon. And from his honeymoon, he sent Clay an email saying, Clay's my husband, that he would be healed. Clay was so upset that he didn't say anything to me about it. Until one day I was talking again about how he would see, and I was so excited. I said, do you think it's going to be like you haven't seen, and all of a sudden you open your eyes and you're seeing everything, how amazing that's going to be? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know, is this going to happen? Is he a baby? Is he going to be 18 years? Lord, how long is this going to take? And so my husband just mentioned, oh, well, Nate said that he would see. And I said, well, what did he say? Why would he say that? He said, I don't know. He sent me an email. Why don't you call him? So I called Nate. And I said, Nate, you sent my husband an email saying that Aubrey would be healed. I said, yeah, I did. I said, well, why would you say that? He said, well, God told me. And here I was so confused. I said, I don't understand. I said, I've been praying every single day, and God didn't say anything to me. I said, but he tells you? He said, well, it's not like an audible voice. He said, it's like this. I was on my honeymoon, and every day I would wake up at like 11 o'clock. I'd sleep in. goes, but on Thursday morning, I sat straight up in bed at 7 o'clock, was woken up, sat straight up in bed, was speaking in tongues, felt all over my spirit that Aubrey was going to be healed and I was supposed to tell Clay. He goes, so I figured I would tell him when I came back to work Monday morning. He goes, but I couldn't go back to sleep. So I had to pay for someone to cart me across this resort down in Mexico, to send mail. And then I came back and went back to bed. Oh my. So here I am hearing this, and I felt like this is the news I'd been waiting for this whole time. I'd been praying, and I wanted some big thing from God. I wanted an angel to come and heal my son in front of me, because I would pray and then I wouldn't know if he could see because he'd be asleep. I thought, God, I don't have to wake him up. I have to wait for him to wake up, and then I've got to see if he's tracking, if he can see. And I thought, if you just send me an angel, God, I would know. If you just came here personally, I would know he was healed. So this was, to me, a big deal. This was, I felt like I'd been praying and no answer. I felt like this was my answer. He is saying, I'm healing him.
It's your angel.
So, that's my angel. So I was ecstatic. I just said, oh my gosh. I said, so you really feel like he's going to see? He said, no, you're not listening to me. I know he's going to see. And he got off the phone. It was about 1 week later when Aubrey started to see.
Oh my goodness.
I know. And when he started to see, it wasn't the way I thought it would happen either. You know, I'm like I told you, I thought it was going to be you've never seen before. Then you open your eyes and wow, there's the world. He started to see. It was so slight that no one even noticed that he was seeing. And I noticed at my daughter's third birthday party, I just thought, I really feel like he is seeing. He's trying to see. I really feel like that because my mom was holding him and she was wearing a black and white shirt and it had sequins on it. And I felt like he kept trying to look, but I couldn't tell, and I can't ask, are you seeing? But after everyone left, I mentioned it to my mom and she mentioned the same thing. She noticed. Both her and I had picked up on that. When everyone left, I was packing. We were going to go on a vacation the next day to Destin, Florida. And so I had my son laying on his back on my bed. And I went, and he was 4 months old, 4 and a half months old. I went and I got a black and white shirt of my own, and I pulled it like tight over his head, and then I moved it from side to side, and I knew he was seeing because his eyes, even though I'd moved back and forth so much out of his control, so I couldn't count on that tracking, but I saw him turning his head. He turned his head from side to side.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like I knew all the prayers I had prayed. I knew the word. I knew it. I went and told my husband, and he didn't want to come back and see. I think he thought I was crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So he didn't go see, but he we left the next day. And the kind of a funny thing is, now during this whole time, I told you my husband had refused to pray for Aubrey. And when we left, the day before we left, my husband bought a book called George in My Corner by, I mean, called God in My Corner by George Foreman. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. If anyone wants to read it, it's a wonderful book. But in this book, Clay did not want to get it, but he said he felt like he was supposed to. And I said, well, okay, then get it. And he's like, I really don't want to. I said, okay, then don't get it. Well, I'm supposed to get it. I said, well, okay, then get it. So he got the
book. Don't you love that annoying push? Yes. Like, oh, I don't want to do this, but I have to do it.
That's how he was. So he got the book, and I literally read it aloud to him as we were driving down to Florida. And in the book, very early on, George tells about his nephew who was healed. And I can't remember if it was George who prayed. I think it was George who prayed for it. But he was healed. And so Clay prayed for Aubrey. Now, I'd already seen Aubrey seeing the day before, but Clay had not. Well, on this trip, another time when Clay was reading the book, Aubrey grabbed his highlighter. And that was the first time, and smiled at Clay. That was the first time he noticed. And he ran and got me and said, Aubrey is seeing. And I said, I know. I told you.
Oh,
so he amazing. My husband was so excited, but at the same time, he was afraid. He was afraid to believe it. And he said, well, I'm not going to say anything yet. He goes, I want you to take him to the doctor when he gets back and let's see what he says. and so that's what we did. You know, as soon as I got back home, let me tell you this, because I think this is really important. There's so many little details to the story. And sometimes you have to pick and choose the ones I can go over. But I remember that when Aubrey started seeing and Clay had already, I had seen it, and now Clay had seen it, and we're driving back from Florida, and he's in the center seat, and he's in his baby seat, and he's backwards facing, and I'm sitting back further looking with him. I was suddenly gripped with so much fear, because I had always prayed that he would see, and he could see. He was starting to see. You had to be like maybe 6 inches from his face, have something that lit up that close. I mean, but he was starting to see. But what didn't go away is that eye movement. And I suddenly was gripped with this fear of, you didn't do it right. you didn't ask for the term for the eye movement we learned was called nystagmus. It's an involuntary movement of the eye. Mm-hmm. And he picked that up by the time he was 3 months old. We were explained because it's like his eyes didn't know what to do because they couldn't see. Mm-hmm. So they picked up this movement. And I just felt like, and it's the devil, I know now, but it was an attack on me where I felt like I didn't do it right. You didn't do it the right way. And so now that movement's never going to go away. He might be able to see, but that movement's not going to go away.
Because you didn't pray for the movement too.
Because I didn't pray for the movement too. Exactly. Mm. Like I didn't say, hey, you know, take away the nystagmus. I prayed, let my son see. So I was gripped with that fear. And I really would, I just would pray about that all the time, about the nystagmus. And I would apologize. I'm sorry I didn't pray for that. Like I just felt like this condemnation, which I know is not from God, but I feel like you didn't do it right. And so now you're not going to get that. And I believed that for a while. So anyways, we came back and we went to the doctor, or I called the doctor first. And I asked the receptionist, can I speak with the doctor? And she got him on. And I said, I feel like Aubrey's seeing. I said, I want to bring him in. And he was nice. But he said, you were here 6 weeks ago. Your son is blind. I mean, because think on his end, literally, I was there 6 weeks ago and he had checked him out. And we also, he wasn't the only doctor we went to. We took him to the Dean McGee Eye Institute in Oklahoma City as well. And everyone said he is blind. And here I am calling saying, I think my son is seeing. He's got to think, okay, you're wrong, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So I remember being so frustrated. I got off the phone and I called right back. And this time I just spoke to the receptionist only and I booked our appointment and we brought him in. And he said, yes. He is seeing. He is seeing. He said, it's ever so slight, though. He's still legally blind. But it's like I knew because before it was that he would never see. And so I knew he's even if it was so slight, I knew. And it just kept getting better and better and better with each appointment. So that first one, when he said he's still, like I said, we had to be 6 inches to a foot away from him with something that was high contrast for him to really pick it up. But by the time he was 4 months old, or not 4 months, 8 months old. So that was 4 months later at Christmas. We did pictures. I remember being ecstatic that he could make eye contact with me for the photo across from the couch. Mm-hmm. So I must have been like 5 or 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. And it just kept getting better. And his personality changed overnight too. He, before when you could never set him down, now you could set him down. He'd be content. You know, he was looking around. So it was just absolutely amazing. But I've really had this big revelation after he was healed because like I told you, I thought this entire time that God never spoke to me, that here I am praying and I don't know what God's doing with my prayers. I believed he could hear me, but for whatever reason, I felt like he just didn't choose to speak to me. And this light bulb went off that, wow, God has been speaking to me this entire time. He spoke to me through just that knowing that Aubrey could be healed. He spoke to me through the Bible verses that all things are possible, that God is not a man that he should lie, that that the first original one that came to me that I'm trying to think of what it is. Why was this man born blind? And it was to bring glory so that he could bring glory to God. And so all those I started.
And Nate.
Yes. And Nate, that was a huge one. Yeah. God speaking to me through Nate. And he also spoke to me through a friend during this time too, when my husband had asked me to stop praying and he was worried that I was a crazy person. I started to think and be like, well, I don't know. Do crazy people realize that they're crazy? So what do? You call your best friend. I said, crazy? You know, yeah, I said, I don't know. I said, I don't think I'm crazy, but you know, I don't know if I would know if I was crazy. I said, but I really feel like my son is going to see. And she said, if you feel like he's going to see, he's going to see. Now, who says that? People don't say that to people. That was God speaking through her. That was the Holy Spirit. So it's like this light bulb went off on my head after he was healed of, wow, I was never alone. And not only that, God spoke to me that entire time leading me. It then made me look back at my entire life to say, oh my gosh, God has been speaking to me and leading me my entire life. Because if I didn't attend Oral Roberts University, which I had never heard of, maybe the year before I found out about it the year before I went out there, I wouldn't have even known to ask for healing. That's what opened my mind and my heart up to all of this. And so I just realized, wow, God led me even before Aubrey to get to the school. Mm-hmm. And even what my childhood is really what influenced me to end up at that school. So
God works all things together for our good.
He does. And I just think that whatever circumstance any of our listeners are going through right now, what's absolutely amazing is that God has foreseen it all before. And he has led you faithfully up to this point, whether or not you've seen it. And he's going to lead you through it, too, as long as you turn to him. But as long as you turn to him and keep turning to him, he's going to do it. So I just feel, I told you after he was healed, I really started questioning all the things. Like, well, what if some people had said, well, if you didn't pray, well, I wonder if this would have happened anyways. And I thought, well, I don't know, because it wasn't the, all of a sudden from darkness and then you see nothing. So all I know is that my son was completely blind. I was told he would never see. And God sent us someone to say he would be healed and he can now see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So that's common sense to me. Straightforward. Like, come on.
Very straightforward.
I mean,
yes.
You do question though, because it is a spiritual thing and it's not something in this world that we can see, but that is the very definition of faith, is to believe in something that you can't see.
I agree. Yes. Yes. And that's the other thing is that, you know, so some people will say, well, you just had great faith. You had great faith. And I do believe that because I truly did believe it. I didn't have to make myself, but I didn't do it. It's like God gave me that faith. And I think that we can all, you know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And so that's something I still ask for is, Lord, increase my faith, increase, you know, help me to believe without wavering. And because God put that in me. I never, that first day when I came back and I read that verse, it was like something dropped in my spirit that knew he's going to be healed. Mm-hmm. And so I am so grateful to God for doing that. It was never a battle. Yes, there would be times I doubted, but I never thought, oh, I don't know if God can do it. I wondered if he would do it.
Right. I think that's the point where everybody is when they're thinking about healing. Like, they believe, because I've actually had my sister on, and she was healed of a sleeping disorder. She was on at the middle of season 2 or 3, I think. Anyway, but she would always say, God, I know you can do this. I know you are able, but will you do this for me?
That's exactly where I was. And, you know, you reach all kinds of points of desperation. I felt like I was bargaining, like, I will do whatever. Like, I know you can do this. Just please. And it's just amazing because it opened my eyes, like I said. So after the healing, my outlook was just so different because I started to look at everything as, wow, this is God speaking to me. If it was an opportunity that was brought before me, or even, you know, now I've written a book about it. It's called Now I See. And just how that came about, I felt like God was telling me, I would share the story with so many people who knew us in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They knew the story. They saw it happen. They knew Aubrey when he was blind and they knew him when he could see. And as amazing as it was, you could kind of lose the novelty of it when you're around it all the time. And so I would travel with my husband to speaking events and share with people when they asked about our family. It's like, I always bring this story, always comes up. I feel like I need to share it. And sure enough, these women, I overheard two women talking about it later in the bathroom. And they said, you know what, no matter what you believe, you have to know, this one was telling one who wasn't a believer, that there is something out there. There is someone who cares about you. I mean, for God to do something like that. And the woman said, yeah, like she got it. And I went and I told my husband what an impact that had made. And he said, you know what, you have to write a book. And I knew he was right. I knew that was God saying, you know, I can't have this story and not share it, because I know how desperately I was looking for a story to be a word of encouragement for me when I was waiting for healing for my son. So, yeah. And, you know, along with that, I have a little website, but now I see hope.com, and I just started just looking for more ways to share the story. Because do you want me to get into my book at all? I don't know.
Yes, please share. Okay. So we can know.
Yeah. So I wrote the book, and what's so funny is I wrote the book, so I knew I was supposed to write the book, and it took, you know, so long, and it was emotionally just draining, but I wrote it and I knew I was supposed to write it. But then after I wrote it, it was like I was kind of embarrassed to get it out. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I wrote it because I was like, okay, God, I was obedient. I did it. Rah, rah, me. I'm so happy. Now I don't really want to have to tell anyone. And my husband, one of the companies he owns is a marketing company. That's why I find this so funny, is he I had a, I'm trying to think if I, yeah, I had a website, and the book was on Amazon, and I passed it out to the girls I worked out with. But other than that, I did not do anything to get like the knowledge of my book out there. I could have had my husband, you know, putting me on podcasts or going on the local media. I mean, he does this for all of his clients. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And, but I was more like content for not to, it just was vulnerable. It was my real feelings, my real emotions. Everything I really experienced was in that book. And it was scary for me to put that out there for everyone. So kind of in a weird twist of things, I had that book for a couple years. And then this past year, I had someone who was a pageant coach, and she, who I'd never met before, contacted me on Facebook and offered me a scholarship to run for Mrs. Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, I know, right? She said that she had heard my story. So I went and I spoke with her. And long story short, I told her, okay, if one of the girls she had trained had become Mrs. America, and that's why they had the scholarship. I said, well, if she wants to give me the scholarship, then I'll do it. If not, I won't. And I told God, I said, if I'm supposed to do it, have them give me the scholarship. If not, then I will not do it. And I knew that my platform would be the story, and think I had did nothing with really putting it out there other than telling my friends and giving them a free copy of the book and having this website out there that no one knew about. So, you know, I mean, you can't find it unless I tell you.
God was not specific on what to do after the book, right?
Yeah, just write the book. Just write the book. So I ended up doing the pageant, and it scared me to death. I mean, you're putting yourself out there literally to be judged. I'm like, I'm 35 years old. This is not the time. Like, why didn't you tell me to do this 10 years ago or 15 years ago?
Yes.
Before my kids? You know what I'm saying? This is yes. not the time, I'm thinking. And so first, yeah, I was really excited about it. And then I got scared to death. And then when I went to the actual competition, I thought, what have I gotten myself into? Like, beautiful girls, very well qualified. I mean, the whole thing, but I knew I was supposed to be there. And I will tell you, in preparation for that pageant, I did everything I could. My husband worked with me to get this book out. I went on every local TV station that we have here. I did any interview. I did speaking events. Anyone who called, I would do it, you know, for free. I'll go out there. And it made me get out of my comfort zone so much. And I was told God is the of course, like a pageant, nothing puts yourself out there more than a pageant to be literally judged. I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable with it now. I will put myself out there. So it was really a growing experience with me. But I realized, I said, okay, Lord, if the truth there, then I know win or lose this pageant. It's not like, okay, if I don't win the pageant, then I'm going to stop telling the story of my book. It means I'm supposed to continuing to get the story out there. So that's when I started the site, Now I See Hope. And basically my thought was, I want to have some sort of something. What I did appreciate about the pageant, it was very girly. You got to get dressed up. You got to buy, you know, expensive clothes for yourself, and you didn't feel guilty. I'm not someone who's really that way. And like where I always feel bad. Like if I go, oh, I really didn't need that. You know, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, so I really did need these things. I did need the best shoes and the best outfit. So that was really fun. And so I thought, I want to do something, have some sort of product that I can buy, but I want to give my book to people with it so they can hear the message. I want the message to be, you know, so the product to further the message. So that's why I came out with Now I See Hope. And it's just jewelry, and people buy it. But with every purchase, they get a free e-copy of my book so they can read that e-copy. They also get like a little brief little kind of like a postcard synopsis of the story of the healing they can keep or they can share. And then we give $2 from every purchase to neweyes.org, which is a charity that helps people with who can't afford prescription glasses. But I'm really excited about it because I thought this is a way where I can have fun and get the story out there. To me, it was a creative way that I would have never thought of if I had not been through the pageant. And really, it took away all fear of being judged because I literally had to go through that process. But I saw that as God, I don't know, just
facing your fears. Yeah. Facing your fear and getting over that. Like, let's just be done with that. Let's just do the worst thing.
You read the book. Now just get it out there. Yeah. So it was a funny way. Cause I thought, wow, if I probably would have just gotten it out there to begin with, I maybe wouldn't have had to go through that whole process, but
<That's>
I think
awesome.
I was supposed to. Yeah.
God works in funny ways. So tell me as we close out, Aubrey is how old and how is his eyesight now?
He is 9 years old, and he has 20/60 vision in each of his eyes, which is better than his father. It's absolutely amazing. His nystagmus has gone down greatly. I can notice because I'm his mom. You know, if he gets tired, you know, his eyes will want to move. It's not like you or I where we just don't think about it. But you wouldn't notice if you were just hanging out with him. He played hockey for several years. Think of a little puck on the ice. Oh, absolutely amazing. Had no problem. He does everything all the other kids do. He's obsessed with landscaping. He wants to have a landscaping business. He constantly wants to mow lawns. That's his big thing right now. And
it cracks us up. And the beauty of that. Oh my gosh, that makes me want to cry.
Yes. And he is, just a determined, strong-willed, passionate kid. I love it. And, you know, he's so funny because he's grateful that he's healed, but then also of all the kids, he's probably my most shy. And so every now and then, I just did a speaking event last week and they really wanted Aubrey to come. And I said, okay. And Havana, my oldest, she goes, I'll come too. And then he was comfortable when she was there, but we crack up because I was like, if this was, you know, my middle child or my youngest, they'd be like, oh yeah, oh yeah. But he's always like, I don't know. What do I say? I'm like, if they talk to you, you can just, you know, say what you normally say. You can introduce yourself. But it's just so funny because he's the most shy out of all of them. And so to have that, I know God has big plans for him, but to have that, be put in that spotlight, sometimes he doesn't know how to handle that.
Yeah. Well, that is just amazing. I'm just so thankful and so encouraged from the story. And thank you so much for actually getting out there and sharing it. Oh, my goodness.
Can I share one more little piece of something?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what I want everyone to know is everyone is going to come to a breaking point sometime in their life. And I don't know, you know, what it is. It could be a relationship. It could be a job loss, loss of a loved one. You're going to come to something that no one can help you with. You can't help yourself, but God is the only one who can. But I want you to pray to God and know that He is listening and He is hearing your prayers. And you know what? You might not get your answer the next day, but don't give up. Keep praying. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, to pray and keep praying. And God is hearing you, and I know that He will answer you. It might not be how you thought. It wasn't how I thought, but guess what? My story ended in victory. It wasn't that I thought I was going to have, you know, this angel before me, and then my son is going to go from nothing to perfect vision just in an instant. And you know what? But this is how God did it, and it's a better story because He was working in me. He was working in my husband. My husband's beliefs changed overnight. So I just know that for all of your listeners, I want them to be so encouraged that God is hearing them. And He is speaking to them, so they need to listen. And it might be in a different way than they think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Amen. Well, that is so good.
Oh, thank man. You for having me, Amy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's just so amazing. I want to, like, jump up and down and, like, cheerlead for God. Like, that's so awesome.
I did in my house. I was like a crazy person going around doing, you know, punching my arms, doing high kicks. But, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Amy. You have a wonderful day, and thank you for letting me share.
Uh-huh, you too.
Well, guys, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to do a happy dance and jump up and down. That is just such an amazing story. I just have to tell you, I personally was healed as a child from a hearing problem. I was supposed to get tubes, and I was losing my hearing. And same thing, my mom prayed over and over, and gradually my hearing got better and better. And I think it's just so beautiful that here I am doing a podcast, and I'm able to listen to these stories of these women. It's just so redemptive, and it's just so amazing. Also, my sister, it took 30 years of my mom and family praying for my sister's healing, but she was healed of a sleeping disorder. You can actually go back to season 2, episode 9 and hear my sister, Heather Weimer. And well, she's Heather Weimer Tollison. I have to get used to that since she's gotten married. So you can listen to her story of her healing. It's just, I know God is able. I don't know what God chooses to do, but I can tell you that God is able. And no matter what situation it is where you feel helpless, God tells us to pray without ceasing, and that we know that He is listening. He will answer in His time and in His way, and it's for His glory, but don't stop praying. Just have that faith and be obedient in your praying, and don't give up. James tells us that we don't have because we don't ask. So in faith, let's take our request before God and wait expectantly for Him. So guys, I hope this is so encouraging to you like it was to me. I actually recorded that episode like the day after season 4 ended, and I was just so disappointed I had to wait so many weeks for you to hear it. If you enjoyed that, I'd love it if you could go over to Facebook and like that post or share it on Facebook or Instagram. Share it with your friends. I mean, even if you didn't necessarily need this message this week, maybe there's someone you know that needs some hope that God is able and He is listening this week. All right, friends, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week on Feathers.